Okay, we'll start in just a minute. Morning, gentlemen. We began the sugya on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the sugya of Smichus Geul Tefillah. And we left the sugya hanging with a lot of questions. And I realized that it's not going to be an easy matter to answer these questions. I think we need a broader view, a lot of introductions to see what Tefillah is all about. And then we could figure out what Smichus Geula Litfilah is. To some extent, as we discussed last week, we need the Geula as an introduction to Tefillah. And the question is whether the Geula links up to Tefillah and becomes one entity, or the Geula and the Tefillah two separate entities. This is all dependent upon how we understand Tefillah. So I'd like to begin with the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. And we're going to count up 11 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Safek Kara Kriyachma, Safek Lo Kara, a case that we've discussed on many occasions. Chozer Vekore, he has to repeat Kriyachma. Safek Ispalel, Safek Lo Ispalel. Eino chozer umispalel. In the case of tefillah, Rabbi Lazar holds that safek does not engender a chiv tefillah as it does in the case of kriyat shema. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. We're going to focus our attention for the time being on the second opinion, that of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Valavai Shispalel Adam Kolayom Kulo. And truth be told, when I first read this line of Rabbi Yochanan, I was imagining to myself, how many Shmonesrim can I fit in one day? I mean, this would be a great fulfillment of the dictum of Rabbi Yochanan. But that's not so. And as we see in the Hemshech HaSugya, Rabbi Yochanan is not advocating in favor of starting Shmon Esrei time after time after time. He's focused specifically on the case of Suffolk. And in order to appreciate that, we'll see the next part of the sugi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Haya Omeid B'Tfilah. He's in the middle of Shmar Esrei, bangs himself on the head, v'nizkar, he reminds himself, just palel, he already davened. So what would you say? He's halfway through Shmar Esrei, give him a chance to finish it up. No, posek, he has to interrupt, he has to complete, take a seat, afilu b'emtza bracha, even if he's in the middle of a bracha. The Gemara asks a question on that. We have a situation where a person realizes in the middle of tefillah of Shabbos, oh no, I'm davening a tefillah of Chol, and halacha is that he should continue that bracha and then mention Shabbos. We don't say that since he started the tefillah al-das under the impression that it's Chol, therefore he has to drop the tefillah. But rather, he could continue, and the second half of the tefillah will indeed serve as a tefillah Shabbos. So Gemara says, "Hachi ashta hasam gavra bar chiyuvahu." He's actually obligated to daven a full Shmon Esrei, all 18 brachos, even though it's Shabbos. For Rabbanan hu de lo atrechuhu, the Rabbanan alleviated him of that tircha of going through all of Shmon Esrei mishum kavod Shabbos. And therefore, the first half of his Shmon Esrei, even though he davened as a tefillah chol, is meaningful and can be integrated into the second half of the Shmon Esrei, which he davened as a tefillah Shabbos. Aval hacha, but here, in the case where he began his tefillah thinking that he's obligated, hatzalile, that half of tefillah is going to be meaningless. He's already davened. And once again, Rabosa, you see very clearly that the Gemara is not advocating the way we might have interpreted in the context of Rabbi Yochanan. V'alavai she'ispal adam kol yom kulo. So what? He already davened. Let him daven again and again and again. No. He already fulfilled his obligation, and therefore he should not continue to daven. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, what happens if I've already davened Shmon Esrei? I fulfilled my obligation, but I came into shul, and I had davened my tefillah as a yachid. Now I find a tzibur that is davening, so I want to link up with that extra element, a kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. Can I do so? Can I daven another Shmon Esrei? And the answer is, it depends. Im yochol chadish b'davar, if he can add something to enhance this tefillah, this Shmon Esrei, in contrast to the first Shmon Esrei, in other words, at home, he read, you know, the Shmon Esrei. You know, they gave him a siddur, he read it, fulfilled exactly the standard text. Now he comes into shul, he wants to daven a second time. He's allowed to do so and link up with the tzibur, but on one condition. He's got to enhance his tefillah. He can't just repeat like a tukki everything that he said in the first Shmon Esrei. In lav, if he cannot add to embellish, we'll see exactly what that means, not today, but that's already a sugya of what it means to be mechadish b'davar, but in any event, he has to transform and change the nature of his tefillah. If he cannot do so, al yachzor v'yispalel. So let's go back to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan amar, valvai shiyispalel adam kol hayom. So what does Rabbi Yochanan mean? And not only that, if you look at Tosus on the bottom of the page, two lines before the bottom, Omeri, ta'alacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. So why all this inhibition about Shmon Esrei? He began thinking he's obligated, he's got to drop in the middle, he reminds himself, no, I already fulfilled my chiyuv. He wants to link up with the tzibur. Well, all sorts of conditions. He's got to be mechadish b'davar. What happened to Rabbi Yochanan? And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Valavai shiyispalel adam kol hayom." It's about eight lines up before the end of the page. He quotes the Baag. Baal halachas gedolos pasak halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. And then he adds another word. B'safek. When does Rabbi Yochanan allow you to daven a second time? This is not a carte blanche recommendation to repeat Shmon Esrei over and over and over again, but rather it's a way out in the case of safek. If you have no safek, you're absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've already davened, you've already recited Shmon Esrei, then even if you're in the middle of a bracha, drop it right there. Halacha kishmuel bivadei hispalel. And that's exactly what Tosus says at the bottom here. Omeri, da'alacha kirab yochanan, vidafka bisafek hispalel, avol vadei hispalel, lo. That he's not allowed to do. However, in what situation would we allow him, even though he was mispalel already, and there was no suffix, and yet he wants to daven again? We're going to allow him to do that if he can be mechadish b'davar, says Tosus. But as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, there's no need to be mechadish b'davar. Rabbi Yochanan will allow you to daven a Shmon Esrei if you have a suffix. You don't know whether you fulfilled your obligation or not. That alone is enough to justify that you daven a Shmon Esrei. If, on the other hand, you've already fulfilled your obligation, and now you want to stand up and daven another Shmon Esrei, you need to be mechadish b'davar. What's that called? When you optionally offer a second Shmoneh Esrei, even though you've already fulfilled your first obligation, feels the Dava. So Rabbi Osai, let's just summarize the sugya here on Daf Chof Aleph. If anybody wants to write this down, it's kedai to write 4 points that we get from this sugya. Number one, there's an entity in the world called Tfilas Nedava. Number two, but Tfilas Nedava is not a carte blanche that whenever you decide, you get up and you repeat another Shmon Esrei. Tfilas Nedava is only acceptable if Yachol Lechadish Badavar, if he can somehow embellish and change his Shmon Esrei. Point number three, in the situation of Safek, he doesn't know if he davened or he didn't daven, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Lazar, and he's allowed to daven even without being Mechadish Badavar. He doesn't have to add anything to the standard Shmon Esrei. Point number four, if he already was mispalel and now he wants to convert his tefillah midway because he reminds himself halfway through the Shmon Esrei, whoa, I davened already, he cannot continue and make the second half of his tefillah into a tefillas nedava. A tefillas nedava must be a tefillas nedava from beginning to end. You cannot link together two halves and make them into a whole. If the first half was a tefillas chova, because he thought he was obligated, now he wants to convert the second half of his tefillah into nedava and somehow piece together the two halves, that he cannot do. Rabbi Osai, what we want to focus our attention on amongst all these 4 points is the third of the fourth, meaning the psak halach like Rabbi Yochanan, that although in general I need to be mechadish badavar if I've already fulfilled my obligation, but says Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of a safek, when I don't know if I fulfilled my obligation or not, I will recite a Shmon Esrei because of the safek, and there's no compelling need to be mechadish badavar. So in order to understand this, we're going to fast forward to Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And here again, we're going to count as we did before, that seems to be the magic number today, 11 lines up from the bottom of the page. So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And if you have the Maror Makomos page that I gave out today, it's number 2 on that page. And the Gemara says the following. Yachol Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Yachol Yispalel Adam Kol Ayom Kulo. You might think, as we thought when we first read Rabbi Yochanan back on Chaf Aleph, Valavaish Yispalel Adam Kol Ayom Kulo, now it becomes a Havamina. And the answer is Kvar Mefurash Al Yidei Daniel. There's a pasuk in the 6th chapter of Daniel. It's a long, long pasuk. You'll see it here in Torah R on the side of the page. And the 2 key words in that pasuk are Vizimnin Tlasa. What's the magic number? How many times can I daven during the course of a day? 3. Not more than 3. Again, the Gemara is not talking about a tefillas nedava. The Gemara here is addressing a tefillas chova. I fulfilled my obligation. I've davened already 3 times during the course of the day. Now I'd like to add a 4th time. Can I do so? Well, the Havamin is yes. But we have a pasuk in Daniel. And that pasuk teaches us that we're not allowed to add beyond the number 3. Again, tefillas nedava is something else. That's a chiddush badavar, it's a different entity. But as far as the standard tefillas chova, that we only can daven 3 times a day. Musaf doesn't apply as a tefillas hayom, it's a tefillah that replaces the korban musaf. That's why tefillas musaf can never come be nedava, it's only replacement of musaf. If there's no musaf, then there's no tefillas musaf. Rabbosai, this Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph that you can read 50 times and without blinking go on to the next line of the Gemara and miss what I call an elephant. It's one of the big five. And what is significant about this sugya? You know, our Rebbe trained us that we have to understand the Hava Mina. And if in order to reject the Hava Mina, the Gemara, Chazal feel they need a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh, there must be a starka Hava Mina. And I ask you the following question. On Friday night, I recited Kiddush. Can I recite Kiddush again? Yes. On Yontif, I recited Hallel. Can I recite Hallel again? I'm in the mood for another Hallel. I'm in a good mood. I ate a meal, and I benched. Can I bench a second time around? Why not? That's called a bracha she'netzricha. A person doesn't have the right to be laid back about reciting a bracha, about reciting Hashem's name. There's no option over here. We're not asking for people to line up to volunteer to make brachas. There ain't no such thing in halacha. Halacha trains us that when there's an obligation, what we call a chovas gavra, then we recite a bracha. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. We have a tzivui, we make a bracha. We don't have a chova, we leave it out. A person is not called upon to create a new entity of a bracha when there's no chova. When there's an obligation to be mevarech, that gives me the ability to create an entity called a bracha, a chalashem bracha, which the Torah and the halacha recognizes. But if I don't have a chova, if it's not incumbent upon me to recite this bracha, then on the contrary, the halacha doesn't recognize that bracha at all. That bracha is nothing more than a bracha she'netzricha, it's not necessary, and in so, it's a violation of a prohibition of lo tisa Hashem Hashem lashav. And if we had time, we would go through this bi'yun gadol. But that's not for us now. I want to just ask the following question. What was the havamina of the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Aleph? That a person can daven as frequently as he wishes. He's not limited to the number 3 until we see the pasuk in Daniel. That's the maskana. But in the havamina, carte blanche. The door is open, the floodgates are open. You're free to daven and daven and daven as many times as you can. What is it here that attracts the Gemara to this Havamina position, that tefillah, unlike every other bracha, after all tefillah is made up of 18, 19 brachos, why should it be different than any other bracha? There's no such thing as an optional bracha. What was the Gemara thinking? We thought it as a Havamina in Rabbi Yochanan, but we saw that that's not true. We misinterpreted Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Valavai, it's okay. You want to create a Tefillas Nedava? That's fine. There's such an entity called Tefillas Nedava. It represents, if you will, or replaces a Karban Nedava that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. But a tefillah, says Rabbi Yochanan, even in the case of Suffolk, you need license to daven a tefillah. And the license is that you're in a situation, a no-win situation of Suffolk. You don't know how to get out of it. So the halacha permits you to daven a Shmon Esrei. But if you started as a tefillah chova and you realized, oh no, I already daven, then that's it. That tefillah has no status, no chal shem in halacha. It's not an entity of tefillah. Drop it midway. With regard to tefillas chova, Rabbi Yochanan understands very well that the Gemara establishes that the magic number beyond which there's no room for an optional tefillah is 3. So why is it that the Gemara feels compelled to find a source that would equate tefillah, if you will, with all of brachos, and establish
that tefillah like brachos does not lend itself to, you know, I feel good about making a bracha, I feel good about making a tefillah, I'm going to get up and offer a tefillah as a chova because I want to extend this chova past the number 3 to the number 4. Why not apply the same logic to all of brachos and decide that if I want to optionally be mevarech a bracha, that I'm allowed to do so? And I think that we have to come to the conclusion that there's something unique about tefillah. That tefillah is fundamentally different than bracha. And in order to appreciate that, to appreciate the fact that although asur li'adam levarech bracha she'eino tzricha, meaning bracha she'eino chova, that although with regard to brachos, minus a chovas gavra, the bracha is completely a non-entity. Even worse, it's a violation. Tefillah itself, however, tolerates an option. Tefillah can exist as an entity that's halachically valid even in the absence of a chovas gavra. That was the hava mina of the Gemara in Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph, we'll see, the Mishnah as we go along, we'll see and study the Maskonis HaSugya. So what is it about tefillah that allows an individual to create a fourth chefta shel tefillah during the course of the day, even without the chovas gavra? What is it that makes tefillah different? Why does tefillah exist as a halachic and a valid entity, even without an obligation? What is it about the chaloshem tefillah she'eina tluya bechovas ha'adam? It doesn't depend upon the obligation of a person. And for that, Rabosai, we have to take a look at the Mishnah on Daf Chavches Omid Beis. The Mishnah says something radical about tefillah, and we have to appreciate it. This is, if you see the Y lines on the bottom of page Chavches Amid Beis, we'll look at the second of the Y lines, and we're going to focus on the statement of Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer Omer, do we have it? The Mishnah on Chavches Amid Beis, the Y lines. And if you see the wide lines, you'll see the second of the wide lines. I'm assuming that you have the same print that I do. But Blazer Omer, Ha'ose tfiloso keva, ain't tfiloso tachnun. If a person creates his tefillah as a tfilas keva, then his tefillah is not tachnun. The Gemara asks, what is this all about? And here we have to fast forward to Chavtes Amid Beis, which you'll see is the fourth source on the Maror Makomos page. And the Gemara asks the question, again, it's hard to find this, but it's the two dots about 18 lines down from the top of the page. My keva, what does it mean that Rabbi Lozer rejects the individual who establishes his tefillah as a tefillas keva? We all on the same page. Chavtes Amid Beis. Omer Av Yaakov Bar Idi, Omer Av Oshia, Kol She Tefilaso Dome Olav Kimasoi. His tefillah in his eyes is like a burden. It's like a responsibility. In Yiddish, we would say Echdaf Yaitzazai. I have to fulfill my obligation. I'm a soldier in the army of God, and God gave me a mandate to pray, not once, but twice, but 3 times a day, and I have to do so. Says Rabbi Lozer in the Mishnah, as explained by Rav Yaakov in the Gemara, that's Doma Olav Kemasoi. That's Ha'oset Filoso Keva. That's a person who before he davens, he says, Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu. God, you've commanded me to daven, and that's exactly why I'm going to daven. Take a look at Rashi, about 8 lines down from the top of the page, on Chavtes Amid Beis. And Rashi says, Hainu Lashon Keva. What does it mean, Keva? Tfilaso Olav Chok Kavua. He views his tefillah as a law, as a statute. Latzeis yedei chova. A person, after all, makes the declaration. I want to be yotzi my chiyuv. God Almighty commanded me to daven. Says Rashi, that's tfiloso keva. That's not something that's acceptable. And this is embellished by the Mishnah in Masechta Avos, which you'll see here, number Vav, on your page. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hevi zayir b'kriyat shma u'b'tfilah. Be very careful about both kriyat shma u'b'tfilah. Ukshata mispalel. Rabosai, I expect to hear a diuk here. Ukshata mispalel. Altas tfilascha keva. Ela rachamim v'sachnunim lifnei hamakom. Rabbi Shimon, like we saw in our Mishnah here in Chav Ches Amid Beis, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, the Mishnah Rabbi Shimon in Avos says, Al tas tfilascha keva. And if I add the Rashi here in Chav Ches Amid Beis, keva, says Rashi, means olav chok kavua lotzeis yidei chovoso. This attitude that I daven out of a sense of obligation because of the responsibility, the mandate of Hashem, is not acceptable in tefillah. And this is a pella. It goes against everything we know about our obligation in mitzvot. Rashi, very famous, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Ches, in the famous sugya of mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, the mitzvos were not given for the sake of hanah, for pleasure. Zot Rashi, mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu li Yisrael, they weren't given to the Jewish nation. Lios, kiyumam, l'shem hanah, I don't fulfill the mitzvos for the sake of my benefit. Ela, li ol al tzavareim nitnu. I fulfill the mitzvos out of a sense of obligation. It's not a question of, do I opt for a mitzvah? Am I in the mood for a mitzvah? Am I going to volunteer to do a mitzvah? No! Mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu Yisrael. Kiyumam, what motivates a Jew to fulfill a mitzvah, says Rashi, is the ol al tzavareim. We makabel ol balchu shamayim nasa v'nishma. That's the attitude. That's what motivates us to do a mitzvah. And yet that very same attitude, when it comes to tefillah, is unacceptable. But let's again read the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Hevi zayir b'kriyat shma b'tefillah. And then he writes, Ukshata mispalel al tas tefilascha keva el rachamim v'sachnunim. What do you see here in the words of Rabbi Shimon? Ukshata mispalel. Kriyat Shema, it's the right attitude. Kriyat Shema, like any other mitzvah, is lios ol al tzavareim. Tefillah is different. Tefillah should not be fulfilled out of the motivation, out of the intention, lotzeis yidei chovaso. Tefillah limutei Kriyat Shema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum v'chanun. And he wants to hear a tefillah which is a bakoshas rachamim, which is out of a sense of tachnunim. He doesn't want a tefillah's keva. And therefore, if you ask yourself the following question, what kavana should a person have when he gets up to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah? After all, according to one man, the Arm of the Gemara, I'm not sure we paskin like that, but mitzvos, tzrichos kavana. Is that not true? And if you're a Hasidic Yid, you probably, before every mitzvah, recite the Hidden Imuchan Mizuman, and the, at least the Litvisha essence of Hidden Imuchan Mizuman, I'm superimposing a Litvak onto a Chassid, would be the attitude that by reciting L'Shem Yichud, I understand clearly that I'm fulfilling this mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it is, out of a sense of obligation, latzeis yedei chova, in order to fulfill my obligation under the mitzvah of tefillah. But when it comes under the halacha of mitzvos, tzrichas kavana. But when it comes to tefillah, if you have the Maror Makomos page, I'm up to number Zion, Perek Dalet, Halacha Tes Zion in the Rambam, Ketzad Hiya Kavana. What Kavana should a person have when he davens? And I'm waiting for the Rambam's answer. Lotzeis Yedei Chova. He prays out of a sense of obligation. He's compelled to pray. It's a mandate. God commanded him. The Rambam counts tefillah as one of the tariag, no different. It doesn't fall short of any of the other 612. Lavodes Hashem b'tefillah b'chol yom. And the Rambam derives it from a pasuk of Avadetim es Hashem elokeichem. And yet, Ketzad hiya kavana, says the Rambam, Yifne libo mikol amachshavos, v'yires atzmo kilu hu omed lifne ashchina. The Rambam doesn't breathe a word about lotzeis yedei chova. And perhaps, according to the Rambam, the kavana lotzeis yedei chova is not only unnecessary, but it's counterproductive. It's antithetical to the very essence of my attitude towards tefillah. My attitude towards tefillah, as we saw codified by Berlaz in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon in the Mishnah in Avos, is not to be a tefillah's keva. Rashi says, keva ka'olal tzavareyem, latzeis yidei chova. No! That attitude is totally inappropriate when it comes to tefillah. Because tefillah is rachamim ninu. And if you take a look for a moment at the sugyon daf chof, Chaf Amid Beis here in Brachos, are women obligated to daven three times a day? And of course, this is a gigantic sugya. We're not ready for it today. But the Gemara suggests that women are also included in the mitzvah of tefillah to some extent, even though the Mishnah says, Nashim, Pturos mit Kriyat Shema Umina Tefillin, but Chayavos b'tefillah. Despite the p'tur, which applies to women in mitzvah seishas man grama, like kriyat shma and tefillin, nevertheless tefillah they're obligated to. And the Gemara right away asks the obvious question: well, we have to daven three times a day, and the zman of arvis, shachris, and minchan genders the chiyuv tefillah. Then it should be classified tefillah as a classical case of a mitzvah seishas man grama. What's different about tefillah? Women are not obligated in mitzvos which are engendered by a time factor. Why then are they obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah? And by the way, there are poskim, the Shagasarye, who maintain that a woman is obligated like a man in tefillah to daven three times a day. I'm not saying halacha lemaisa we accept the Shagasari, but it's a fascinating sugya, because what he is basically saying is that the Gemara is going to talk about the obligation of tefillah in a totally different light than the obligation of all other mitzvahs. And the nafkamina is nashim. The classical chiyuv for nashim is completely alleviated in the case of zman grama. And if we would apply that to tefillah, certainly we would conclude that a woman is alleviated from tefillah. But the answer is no. That tefillah is different. And why is tefillah different? Why doesn't tefillah depend upon the classic machayvim, which alleviate pater up a woman because it's a chiyuv that's man grama? The answer is because rachmei ninhu. The entire essence of tefillah is rachamim. It's meant to be rachamim. And Rabosai, before we get into this whole discussion about tefillah rachamei ninhu, I'd like to call your attention for a moment to the question that we raised earlier. Why is it that we got regard to tefillah, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph requires a gzeiras hakosuf based on the pasuk in Daniel to establish that the maximum number of tefillos that a person could daven within the course of a day is three? Why would I ever entertain the possibility, the thought, that I could daven beyond the number three? Why is it that tefillah is not like a bracha? The entity of bracha, the cheftishal bracha, depends upon the chovas gavra. Without the chovas gavra, there's no such thing as a recognized optional bracha. But with regard to tefillah, the Gemara has a serious havamina, notwithstanding the pasuk in Daniel, that I could daven and daven and daven over and over and over again. Why not apply the same principle of bracha sheina tzricha to tefillah sheina tzricha? And the answer is beautiful, because tefillah, unlike any other mitzvah, is not engendered, is not given its status as a result of the Chovas Gavra. If it were, then for sure, beyond the number three, you know, I've already benched, there's no Chovas Gavra to bench again, I've already recited Kiddush, I have no Chovas Gavra to be Makadish again. Again, I might be Makadish on behalf of someone else who wasn't Yotzei Lechiv, that's me, Din Arvus. But there's no such thing as an optional Kiddush. I'm in the mood to be Makadish again. You know, maybe I didn't have enough Kavanah in Birkas HaMazon. I want to say the Bracha again. There's no such thing. But yet, in Tefillah, there is such a Havamina. The answer is because Tefillah is an entity which is halachically valid, not based on the Chovas Gavra. And to say you've already fulfilled that chova by davening three times, but based on the very entity of tefilas rachamein ninu. If I have the ability to engender a tefilas rachamein ninu, then there's a very strong argument that would allow me to create the entity of tefilas rachamein ninu, despite the absence of a chovas gavra. I would suggest that a woman in tefilah has a different kind of chovas gavra. It's not the chovas gavra that's engendered by a period of time and Zman Groma that would apply classically for men. Women are alleviated of that kind of Chovas Gavra. But they have a Chovas Gavra under a different halacha, which reflects the unique nature of tefillah as Rachamei Ninu. Women, no less than men, need Rachamei Ninu. They depend upon divine compassion just as we men do. And therefore, anyone who has the ability to create an entity of tefilas rachamim, that's the hefta shel tefillah, let him do so. And not only that, he might even be obligated to do so. The obligation doesn't begin with the gavra. The obligation begins with the hefta. It's the entity of tefillah that engenders the chovas gavra. Everything is punk fakert, is reversed. A engenders B with regard to all mitzvahs HaTorah. A is the Chovas Gavra, and B is the entity of the mitzvah. The entity of the mitzvah is meaningful, is a Chal Shem mitzvah as a result of A, the Chovas Gavra. With regard to tefillah, the order is reverse. On the contrary, we don't begin with the Chovas Gavra. We begin with the Cheftza Shel Tefillah as Rachamim. A person who has the ability to create a tefillah as Rachamim is obligated Mimela to do so. That's what the Gemara establishes about Noshim. And if this be the case, Rabosai, and I'm up to number Tess on Yomar Makomo's page, perhaps we can shed a light on a strange sugya. And this is the sugya of Haholech Baderech. A person is on the road, and he's in a Makom Sakana. And the Gemara establishes that in such a situation you should daven what kind of tefillah, Rabosai? A tefillah k'tzara. Haholech b'makom sakana mispalel tefillah k'tzara. And if you take a look at the Gemara on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, the Gemara establishes that there are two types of tefillos. There's something called a tefillas havinenu, and we've discussed it. It has a synopsis of every one of the 19 brachos emtzoyos with a chasima shomer tefillah, and there's a bracha k'tzara of havinenu, which has no real substance of a structure of brachos, matbeishal brachos. And the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the two? And the Gemara answers the following, that in the case of a bracha of havinenu, in the case of a person who has to condense his Shmon Esrei, then later on he's out of the pressure, he's in a calm situation, does he have to daven again? No. But if he daven the tefillah k'tzara, tzarchei amcha merubim, in such a case he has to daven again? Is Rabosai. The question is so obvious, but I hope the answer is equally obvious. What kind of tefillah is a tefillah k'tzara? Tefillah, like any other mitzvah, is to be recognized as a chal shem kiyum chovaso. Well, I understand in the case of Avinenu, he was mekayim his chova. He did recite a Shmon Esrei that reflects the structure of Shmon Esrei. And Araya, the Gemara says that later on, he's not chayav in the mitzvah of tefillah. He who's yotzei zayin is chiyuv. But in the case of tefillah, tzara, ribon shalom. What is the meaning of that tefillah? What status does it have in halacha? How can you recognize it as a kiyum tefillah when he's still going to be obligated in the tefillah? It means he was mispalel a tefillah without a kiyum chavaso. If he doesn't have a kiyum chavaso, so what is the nature of that mitzvah? And the answer is, it's Rachmei Ninu. You don't need a Chovas Gavra. You don't need to establish that this tefillah is meaningful because it fulfills the obligation that's incumbent upon the Gavra. Ein Achinami tefillah Ketzor would not fit that bill. You cannot describe it as a fulfillment of the Chovas Gavra, but nevertheless, it has the status of a tefillah. And it's recognized as such because it's Rachmei Ninu. And although it is not a fulfillment of the Chiyuv Tefillah, which was established by Chazal as three times a day with a certain structure, nevertheless, it is a meaningful tefillah. And therefore, if there's a Chal Hashem tefillah without a Chovas Gavra, if there's a Kiyum tefillah, an entity of a Chal Hashem tefillah without the obligation, if a person should make his tefillah into Tachnunim and Rachamim and not Keva, we understand very well, number one, why Rabbi Yochanan said, Valavai Shiz Pal Adam Kol Yom Kulo. We understand very well why the Gemara thinks on Daf Lamed Aleph there's a Havamina to say that even beyond the three required tefillahs in the day, a person should daven even beyond the four. And it's not like bracha, it has a separate entity. And I found a page that I want to share with you. I photocopied it with you. Just give me a minute to hand it out. This is your copy. It's not like the other copies because it's not double-sided. Is that okay? So at the end of the day, Evan, you get an extra piece of paper. We're going to charge you for that. Okay? And if everyone could take this piece of paper, Rav Soloveitchik has a shiur that he gave in memory of his father on Gimel Shvat, on the yard side of his father, many, many years ago. And to be honest with you, Rabosai, I have never experienced anything like reading this article, this essay. I was not at the shiur. And to some extent, I say thank God I wasn't at the shiur because I probably would not have understood one iota of the shiur. This essay, which as we said is a shiur that the Rav gave publicly in Yiddish, it probably took 4 hours to six, I don't know. It's just endless. And it goes on and on and on. And every time you get to the corner, he makes a curve. And you could probably write an entire book just based on this one single article. But what I'd like to do with you now is focus on the one part of this essay that I did understand, and I hope that you have in front of you pages Lamed Tes and Mem. Do you have that? And I'm not going to read every word on these two pages. We don't have the time for that. But what I'd like to do is summarize the main points and have you, in a sense, follow with your eyes through the text. Maybe you'll want, in certain cases, to underline, to highlight certain things in the text. And he says the following. And you'll see this if you count up from the bottom of page Lamed Tes. You have Lamed Tes, correct? Okay. If you count up from the bottom of the page, about, let's see. Well, you know what? There's an easier way of doing it.
Underline things.
Right. Well, again, we don't have time to go through all the underlinings, but you have the paragraph that starts Shoni Zeh.
Yeah.
So if you look on the third page, the third line of that paragraph, mm-hmm. he says the following. Mm-hmm. Very poetic. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kirachum v'chanun, as the merciful God, Mizdakek means he connects with, he's interested in linking up to only one type of tefillah. What type of tefillah is that? Rachamim v'sachnunim v'lo l'keva. And here, if you'll flip to the other side of your page, you'll see a paragraph on page Mem, that begins with the words Yesod Hadvarim. Do you have that? And there, he suggests the following. Again, I'm just going to summarize it in my own words. And this, in my humble opinion, is the Rav revealing the brisket derech halimut. I give the Rav a yashikayach here, because, you know, it always baffled my mind how the briskers, you know, the whole Soloveitchik dynasty, how they operate with those terms and those concepts that are so abstract. And here, I can begin to sink my teeth into it. I would use this paragraph if I was teaching a course, which I'd love to teach, hint, hint, in the methodology of brisk. This would be my introduction to brisk. He says the following. With regard to every single mitzvah in the Torah, we begin, and this you'll see on the second and third lines of your page, of that paragraph, excuse me, we begin with the chovas asiyah, with the obligation that's incumbent upon the gavra. Why is that critical? And the answer is that because lacking the chovas asiyah, the asiyah itself does not have the status of a mitzvah. The halacha doesn't recognize it as such. And therefore, what we need is, as a prerequisite, to engender an entity which is legally valid and has a status in halacha as a chalosh and maisa mitzvah, we need a chovas gavra. So, for example, he says in the case of Birkas HaMazon, if you have a chovas gavra, you ate a meal and now you're obligated to be mevarech, then the bracha that you mevarech as a fulfillment of that chovas gavra is upgraded, it's given the status of a cheftza shel birkas hamazon. And the same thing he would apply to every other mitzvah. The chovas gavra engenders, it creates the chal shem bracha, it creates the chal shem asiyas maisa hamitzvah. And therefore, it's a simple matter. You don't need a pasuk, a yalfusa, to derive the conclusion that once having fulfilled Yehovah's bracha, you have no right to create another bracha on an optional, voluntary basis, because you're lacking the chovas gavra, which itself is responsible to engender the status of the bracha as a bracha. And therefore, and these are the key words, you'll see about seven lines down, kishachovas hagavra paka, when the chovas gavra has been terminated because you already fulfilled your chovas gavra, ein mevarchim pam shnia. There's no recognition of the halacha that allows you to be mevarich a second time around. There's no such option. But now we get to tefillah. Tefillah is a different kind of entity. And tefillah as an entity emerges as a chal Hashem tefillah, even minus, even lacking the chovas gavra. It is a cheftza shel rachamim. And the concept of keva is totally antithetical to tefillah. Keva meaning chova. Keva means all al tzavareim. Keva means the chovas gavra. All that is completely placed, shall we say, in brackets with regard to the entity of tefillah. The entity of tefillah attains its status, its ole ledargas bracha, by virtue of the fact not of the chovas gavra, but of the cheftza shel tefillah. And that's what we tried to suggest earlier, that the cheftza shel tefillah, once it's established through rachamim, itself engenders the chovas gavra. The chovas gavra emanates from the fact that you can create this reality called tefillah, and therefore women are obligated in tefillah no less than men, insofar as they share the need and the ability to create tefillas rachamim. They can create that entity, he calls it chativam yuchedet shel tefillas rachamim. And therefore, the halacha formulated the following obligation: anyone who has the ability to engender, to create a cheftza shel tefillas rachamim, is obligated in the midst of tefillah. Sure, there's no question about it. The p'tur of mitzvah seishas mein grama applies to every single mitzvah in the Torah. If a mitzvah is engendered by time, that chovas gavra of zman grama does not apply to women. That's because the asiyah itself is only meaningful by virtue of the Chovas Gavra, but there's no Chovas Gavra in the case of Zman Groma. So whenever I need a Chovas Gavra, in 99 out of 100 cases, then women in the case of Zman Groma are alleviated from the Chovas Gavra. But with regard to Tefillah, where I don't need a Chovas Gavra, where the mitzvah of Tefillah is a result of an action which can be described and defined as rachamim, she herself is obligated to be mispiled to engender that tefillah rachamim no less than a man is. And here the Rav says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, the first word in the line is ra'ayon, a ra'ayon. He says this idea of the unique nature of tefillah surfaces in the concept of tashlum. Where do we find, with regard to other mitzvahs, if I missed my opportunity, we'll give you a makeup exam. We'll give you a tashlumin. You didn't do it this year, take it next year. Tefillah's tashlumin is unique to tefillah. Says Rav Soloveitchik, a fascinating idea. Lou, had I granted you that tefillah depends upon and is created by a Chovas Gavra, there would be no sense to understand and recognize that tefillah is tashlumin. The zman engenders the chiyuv, and once that zman passes, you aren't yotzei zayin over zman o batel karbono. How can you even imagine that tefillah is tashlumin? Says the Rav, you cannot talk about a chovas tefillah shachris in the afternoon or a chovas tefillah mincha in the evening. However, if tzilusa, if davening is rachmei ninhu, ein hechsher atfila v'chalosa kichativa misuyemes kruchim b'chovas gavra, if the essence of tefila and its status as a unique entity is not dependent upon or engendered by the chovas gavra, then kayemes hi, then chazal have the ability to extend that entity of tefila gamli achar zmana, even after the zman has passed by. That zman, with regard to tefillah, plays a whole different role. There's so much more flexibility with regard to zman. You could play with it like clay, like Play-Doh. He says the kviya zmani at tefillah nemar b'chiyuve adam, but the zman tefillah is not a prerequisite, is not a precondition in the kiyum, in the ability of man to create an entity of tefillah. And therefore, even after this mount passes, if I can create an entity of tefillah, Chazal made a takon of tefillah's tashlumin, in which that rachmei ninu, that entity of tefillah, can be linked to the previous time period, even though the Chovas Gavra was limited to that time period, he can be mekayim at tefillah's tashlumin. And if this be the case, says the Rav, we swing back to our original question, the Pasuk in Daniel, quoted by the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph. Why do we need a Gzeiras HaKosuv to tell me that three tefillos is the maximum and not beyond three tefillos? The Chovas Gavra was already fulfilled. The answer is because tefillah is engendered by what? By rachamim, by the chefts of tefillah. And I might think that you can certainly do that even beyond the number three. We need a Gzeiras HaKosuv from Daniel to limit us to the number three and not beyond. Rabbo said, what we haven't done yet, and I think that's going to be the next 40 pages of this article, so please read it if you have a chance. Just joking. You'll come back in a month after you finish this article. We're going to try to understand the maskana. So why is it lamaskana that I am limited, in fact, to three tefillos? Why not engender a tefillos rachmei ninu? And maybe, indeed, that's what I can do through what's called lechadish badavar. But be that as it may, before we get to the sugya of lechadish badavar, how do we justify the fact that at the end of the day we cannot add another rachmei ninu? Could you imagine, I finished tefillos mincha, and all of a sudden I get a call, and I find out that my car is in deep trouble and it's being fixed here in Talpiot in the Mazda Masach, yeah, garage, Mosach. All right, I daven mincha, but I need rachmanis here, yeah, because these guys can rip you off. You don't know what they'll charge you. If the man in Mazda will tell me it's 1,000 shekels because he switched X, Y, or Z, I have nothing to do, and I told this to my wife, except to take out a check and write him 1,000 shekel. Do I believe that? Whatever. But I don't want to be Choshev B'Ksherim. At least it's going to a Jewish operation. You know, I'm a Zionist. I can feel that I'm giving to Mazda, not out there in Germany, but here in Japan, but here in Israel. Okay. And when I get a parking ticket, you know. But why not be mispal another tefillah? I need Rachmanis here. Maybe the people in Mazda will have some sort of ha'ara min hashamayim with divine compassion. Instead of charging me 1,000, they'll charge me 999. So let me daven another tefillah. No, I was already yotzei my tefillah. I did my capacity. I filled my quota, and that's it. And the Rav in this article finds the solution to this enigma in a sugya avodah zarah. That was number Yud Aleph on Yomar Makomos page. We don't have time to go through the sugya. I'm just going to give you a 5-minute introduction to the sugya. It's a pella of a sugya. Mamish, a half of Amud Gemara, asking the following question. A person has what's called bakashas tzrachim. He has needs, and he wants to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and petition God to have compassion to help fulfill his needs. I think you and I would say, if we took a vote here, we don't even need majority rules. I think it would be unanimous. You got tzrachim, get up there and talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Talk to God. No? Don't you agree with that? The Gemara doesn't seem to assume so. The Gemara says, Adam Shoel Tzrachav B'Shomea Tefillah. A person can't just get up and ask Hashem, I need Rachamim, I have Tzrachim. No, he's got to insert it into Shomea Tefillah. Rabbi Eliezer goes a step further. He says that She'elas Tzrachim have to come right before Tefillah. If you combine your Sheilas Tzrachim and then immediately follow up with Tefillah, that's okay. Rabbi Yeshua goes a step further. Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yispalel Adam v'acharkach Shoel Tzrachov. A person is enjoined from Sheilas Tzrachim until after his Tefillah. He can't just jump in and knock on the door, the divine gates of heaven, and say, God, I need something. I got to pass this exam. Help me out. I'm applying for a job. Give me Rachmanis. No. Sheilas Tzrachim is only after Tefillah. And the Gemara presents 5 different opinions here in Avodah Zarah. When is a person given license to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with Sheilas Tzrachim? And Rav Soloveitchik, in his inimitable style, says, "My ichpaslon echu shoel tzrachov. My ichpaslon efo hushu shoel tzrachov." This is on page Mem Aleph. Remind me to photocopy it for you. Halo tefila yispal bechol gavni. Let him get up and daven. My hefresh, what difference does it make? Whether he davens over litfila, so meaning before his tefila, whether he davens after his tefila, whether he integrates his Sheilas Tzrachim into his tefillah, and one day is going to say in Shomea Tefillah he's allowed to do it, the other day it says he's allowed to fit it into one of the other brachos, a ganza langa sugya, and we don't understand the very premise of the sugya. And this goes on and on. So Rabosai, Imirtz Hashem B'li Neder, we hope that Hashem will help us. We'll have to add these tefillahs to Shomei Tefillah, and Hashem will be Meir Einenu, that we could be able to figure out the answer and to unravel the riddle of the sugya in Avodah Zarah, and then to come back to our question about why 3 tefillahs and not more than 3 tefillahs, and then finally to begin to understand the concept of smichus gula tefillah. Then we'll stop there.
You didn't mention the Tosfos.
Yeah.
Of Tess on the days.
Oh, I skipped the Tosfos?
Yeah, the Tosfos that brings down the rock, which is like, blows your mind. It says, Ukfakir. And the rock says, as long as you say the right words, you don't have to have any kavana, and it can be considered a muscle.
That's sort of like the opposite end of the spectrum. It's is that it?
Right. It's just like the Bloy Gilling says that, and the Rav says that in the Rabbanan.
Uh-huh.
Not in Rabbi Ezer, but in
Rabbanan. Wow. That's, okay, that so that blows my mind. We're gonna try to see if we can make sense out of that.